Thank you, guys. Thank you, Julie, Curtis, Jeff, and Bruce. We got the band back.
Yeah.
It's nice to have you all here. It's nice to have all of you here and all of you joining us online. Turns out there are a few women here today. That's great. I thought it was going to be all masculine, so it's good to have you all here. As we know, a lot of the women at Unity of Wimberley are at the women's retreat this weekend. My wife included. And I was going to come here today and talk to y'all about how hard this weekend was for me, being alone with my children, without my wife. But something interesting happened. I became enlightened. I'm just kidding. It was really, really hard. I struggled. There was some struggle there. This morning, trying to get out the door, I told myself I was going to get here early, sit in the chair, get calm, get relaxed, get ready for my talk. And right as we're walking out the door, Indy is like, "Daddy, I got poo-poo." And I'm like, "Buddy, we've been working on potty training," and he's batting about 250 right now, you know? So I rush upstairs, I get him up there, I change his diaper, and as we're leaving, I don't know if it's me or him, but somehow one of us bumped into his little, all of his accoutrements by his changing table. We knocked over his little bottom powder, all of his wipes. It was just a big mess, and I was like, whatever, I gotta go get outside. The dog's outside. I start yelling at this poor old dog. He's got a cone on his head because he had a toe removed. And, you know, I can't leave him out there. He's prey to all the random coyotes and stuff we might have on our property. So here I'm yelling at this dog, get him in the car, or get him in the house so I can get in the car. And it's like, what happened to me? Like, I'm going to come here and give a talk about being whole and being collected. And, I mean, what kind of example am I setting? But I'm here to be honest. And that's a humanist, right? We're all human. We all struggle. We all get in these ruts. But we all aspire for more. That's our journey, right? So my talk today is clever, catchy thing, I thought. Whole in the mind, whole in the body, but whole in the spirit. You know, think about that. A lot of times things feel like they might be aligned, but if our beliefs or everything are askew, then we're not going to be unified. We're not going to have that alignment. And a lot of times, when we perceive that lack or things feel awry in our lives, it's because we're focusing too much on the outcomes rather than being in the present. I noticed that myself just talking about my children. I had this idea of, well, I'm going to be alone with the boys all weekend. It's not the first time I've been alone with them. You know, I'm a pretty active dad, but it's the first time I've been alone, and I'm going to come up and give a talk at church. So I have like a duty on the weekend. It's not just relax and kick back. I wanted the weekend to go well, which it did, but then I also got frustrated because here my kids are. They're little boys, and they're not acting the way I want them to, or maybe they're not listening, or they're not being respectful the way I want them to. Then I'm like, well, am I being a bad dad? Am I a bad father? And it's like, no, I'm not. They're just children. They don't have the governing capacity to make rational choices, and that's where I step in. That's where I should step in. And so often I'm focusing on the outcomes of having this great weekend, having these perfect children, when I should be present. You know, I was changing what felt like the 1,000th diaper, and Indiana, I lifted his little bottom up, and he let out the cutest little toot. It's like, whoop. And like, maybe that's TMI, but it brought me back to the humor of life. You know, we take ourselves too seriously sometimes. We take life too seriously sometimes. And I was like, you know, what am I frustrated about? Let's just laugh. Let's enjoy. Let's be present. And so it's about focusing on the present, not worrying about the outcomes or attaining these things that we think we need to be whole. Because there's always going to be something else, right? There's going to be a job, a thing. You know, that next thing I get is going to make me the person I need to be. And that's not the case. That is not the case at all. If we can go under these beliefs, question these beliefs, and address and look deep into our relationship with the divine, analyze what's going on between us and that, that's when I think is the sweet spot. That's when I think you can attain that alignment and abundance and optimization can flow better into your lives. It's all interchangeable. You know, the body, the mind, and the spirit, it goes together. If you're tired, if you're worn out, I often think that sometimes you'll have time accessing that spirit. If you're not taking care of the body, it's hard for that to flow through you, to be the hollow bone. It's all interchangeable. And some days you can feel great in the body, but not so great in the mind. Some days we feel lacking all three, right? We're human. That's a human experience. But I truly believe, as we all profess to here at Unity, that it starts with spirit. It starts with our thoughts. If our relationship to and with spirit is not right, we won't find that alignment. You know, it's part of the principles that there is only one presence and one power active in the universe. God, the good, the omnipotent. We just said it. Do we believe it? The other side of that tenet is that we are co-creators with God, creating our reality. Our reality through thoughts that are held in the mind. And I'm not going to get all astrophysical on you today. I'm not going to go in the metaverse and all that stuff. But I want to get physical. I want to talk about physicality. I want to be real. I want to talk about health, holistic health, optimization of ourselves, the body, mind, and spirit, that holy trinity. It's the essence of the foundation of our being. And it's all interconnected, starting right here, the highest chakra. The thoughts we think can dictate our reality, our experience. And I'll make a statement. I think that your energy, your frequency, it dictates everything. Everything in your life. The Dalai Lama, when asked what surprised him most about humanity, answered, "Man, because he sacrifices his health in order to make money, and he sacrifices money to recuperate his health. And then he is so anxious about the future that he does not enjoy the present, the result being that he does not live in the present or the future. He lives as if he's never going to die and dies having never really lived." I don't know about y'all, but that rings true for me. And it's interesting because when we think about what's blocking us to this optimization, this wholeness, the one thing that remains true, the one constant, the one thing that's blocking us, the only thing, in my judgment, that's blocking us is ourselves. Now, that can give you peace of mind, or it can be scary, depending how you look at it. And wholeness and health looks different for everyone. It's not one size fits all, right? You don't need to be addicted to CrossFit to be a paragon of health. And you don't need to wear a white flowy robe with a bunch of energized crystals jangling around your pocket to be spiritual, right? I mean, that's the cliches. Those are the cliches. Those are the extremes. What works for you might not work for me, and vice versa. But if you get your mind right, things tend to kind of fall in line. And what does work, what I've found to work all the time, is honesty. That honesty, that deep, honest line, hard line you're walking with yourself. And you know when you're not being honest with yourself, right? That little buzzer, that little internal alarm, goes off. The bzzz, bzzz, bzzz. You know what I'm talking about. It keeps you in check. And sometimes you don't like it. You're like, shut up, go away. But you got to answer to it. The more you keep hitting snooze, the stronger that buzz is going to be. You know, I got into a rut where I got irritated with Father Time, Mother Minute, if you will. I wasn't getting done or what I thought I needed to get done every day. With the business, with the kids, with the house, my creative endeavors. I got frustrated, and I took that frustration out a lot of the times on the people around me. So I started thinking about it. I'm like, what is this about? What's really going on? What do I need to accomplish what I want to get done? First thing's like, well, more time, right? More time in the day. Well, sadly, we all, no matter who you are, get 24 hours a day, and that's it. That's how we measure time. So I'm like, okay, I'll set the alarm earlier. I'll get up. I'll bend time that way. So I started doing that. And for me, it was a little challenging. Never in my life have I been a morning person. I'm not one of those people that just wakes up and is like, yeah, let's go get it. I need some encouragement, some coffee, and a lot of other things to get ready. At least I did. So I started doing it. I got into a pretty good routine, and I started getting things done. Started getting some workouts in. You know, for me, working out is it's a part of my life. It helps me access spirituality. It keeps my mind clean. It keeps the anxiety, the intrusive thoughts away. I feel like if I sweat, I get purified. And that's just me. It's not for everybody. So I started getting my workouts in earlier. Started getting some things done that I wanted to. I was playing some more guitar. But then slowly but surely, you know, the old habits creep back up. One step forward, two steps back. You know that dance. You know, Friday would roll around. Open up a bottle of wine. Maybe get into two. Have some friends over. One margarita, two margarita, three margaritas. You know how it goes. And I would just wake up the next day and I'd be like, man, all that motivation, all that energy just went out the window. I was like, huh. So I'm having a little bit of fun now, but I'm paying for it later. And I've been enjoying cocktails. I love a good glass of wine. I love a good cocktail with dinner. I worked at a bar in LA for, you know, 5-6 years. So I learned a lot, and it was a lot of fun. But I started thinking, what's your present, Michael? Where are you at? You got two little boys that are very demanding. You got a lot of things you want to accomplish. Your spirituality is becoming more and more burgeoning with every week, every day here at this church. What do you want to do? So I started thinking about those outcomes. I'm like, you know what? If I'm being honest with myself, this really isn't in my flow. So I decided, and this is for me, I'm just not going to drink. Give it up for good. It's been about a month. Now, I don't know what the next year looks like or, heck, the next month. But for right now, that's where I'm at. That's my honesty. That's me trying to be optimal, hitting my wholeness, filling up the voids. Who knows? I mean, maybe when the kids are out of school, Lee and I will be the first ones at happy hour putting them back. I don't know. But right now, that's where I'm at. That's that's my story, and that's my truth. And I don't want to come across like I'm trying to suck all the fun out of life. I don't work for Anytime Fitness. I'm not trying to sign you up for a membership, I promise. And I'm not going to force feed you kale shakes or anything like that. The only commitment or goal that I'm looking for is to be introspective regarding our health, our wellness. You know, what are your blind spots? You know, on my journey with my spiritual practice, I've reached, or I'll judge what I've reached, kind of the pinnacle. And I'm not saying I've been Zen or been enlightenment or enlightened or all these things. I've just had these moments, and they're very, very fleeting, right? They come and they go so quick. But I've had these moments of just complete freedom. You just feel ethereal. You feel light. You feel unbound. You feel connected. And for me, you know, the whole alcohol thing, it was just layering on top of that. It was putting dirt on top of it. And I had to dig a hole deeper to get out. And life's already hard enough as it is, right? The struggle is there. So for me, I wanted to take those chains off and be unshackled. You know, if you struggle to take care of your body, if you struggle with your spiritual practice, if these are things that you really want, go deep. Take some quiet time. Sit there and see if you can identify your blockages. What are they? You know? Is it physical? Is it mental? If you're running marathons and bench pressing 250 pounds, but you've still got negative thoughts, limiting beliefs about yourself or about others, then I'll judge that you're not completely healthy. You know? It goes both ways. You're not fully healthy, aligned, or whole. Because I do believe that a broken mind and a broken spirit, negative mind, can lead to ailments in the body. You know, I spoke about Joe Dispenza a while back, how he healed his back with mindful, concise meditation. It goes both ways. You can make yourself sick with your thoughts, or you can heal yourself. That mind-body connection is strong. And you cannot be whole if you don't believe in your wholeness right now. Like I said earlier, it's not going to be a month from now. It's not going to be the 100th workout. It's not going to be a new car, a new job. You have access to that right now. Where you put your attention, your energy goes. It's a law, right? Be careful of labeling yourself, labeling things. It's a slippery slope. You know, you could argue that Labels provide discernment, and I guess they do. Maybe that's true. Just be wary of fully making things black and white. You know, there's power in the in-between. There's power in the gray. Maybe that's why they call it gray matter. I don't know. A little dad joke for you. But I mentioned earlier, it goes both ways. Your thoughts and your beliefs can heal, but that can create stagnation and pain as well. I had a therapist, did a lot of therapy. I think I've told you that. I had a therapist once tell me I had PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. Maybe that's true. Maybe it wasn't. I don't know. I'm not knocking it because it's a thing. You know, people struggle. People have traumatic events in their lives, and things become askew for them. But this woman, who I really trusted and put a lot of faith and power in, told me I had PTSD. So I latched on to that. I've got trauma. I've got trauma. I've got trauma. I am trauma. It became this concrete thing for me. Boy, whew, that's a slippery slope. Got to the point where I started to experience these phantom pains. They weren't really phantom because they were there, but nothing was wrong with me. You know, I didn't have anything wrong with my skeletal structure. There were no tumors or anything, but I had these intense pains and weird sensations in my jaw because I kept looping the story, kept looping my memories about my father and watching him suffer on the bed with his cancer. And I was physically present, right, with my kids, with my wife, but many times I was far gone. I was in this hellscape that wasn't really real. I was far from whole. I read this book by Edith Eva Eger. Edith Eva Eger. She was a psychotherapist or a therapist, but before that she was in a concentration camp. I think in Germany or Poland. She survived. But many of her family, friends did not. And she spent the next 30 years or so outside of the Holocaust just struggling, as you can imagine. But she said it had this quote that really stuck with me, and I thought it was so powerful. She said, "What I did to myself was far worse than anything the Nazis could have done to me." It's all right here. It's all right here. It's connected. The other side of that, positive side of that, let's get happy here. Let's talk about something positive. I've had a bad knee, or I thought I had a bad knee for many, many years. I had surgery 25 years ago, reconstructive surgery from a football injury. And I always told myself, the doctor told me, I mean, back then sports medicine is not what it is today. We've got a lot more information. But they told me, you know, you can't do certain things. You can't bend so far. You can't go past this plane. And so I trained that way. I wouldn't do squats. I wouldn't really do lunges. I wouldn't extend myself. And so over time, you know, how you operate, energy, thoughts, they bind together. So this old leg was very rickety. It wasn't doing a whole lot for me. But I've been in karate for a long time. And my sensei really believes in the mind-body connection. So we worked on it. And a couple weeks ago, he's like, "Listen, man," he's like, "you know this. Traumatic memories can stay stuck and locked in your cells. It's all a cellular thing." And I started thinking, I was like, "You know what, man? By the time I had this injury, me and my dad were just butting heads, you know? I was a budding young man at 15, 16, thought I knew everything. Hurt my knee, couldn't play sports anymore, you know, under the Friday night lights. Well, really, it was Thursday Night Lights, because I was on JV at the time. Didn't make varsity. And I fell in love at the same time, or what I thought was love. But my girlfriend cheated on me with my best friend. Then I had the surgery, and so I'm like, you know what? I probably locked all this stuff, all this pain, it's locked in here with these thoughts, these feelings in my knee, around these muscles, these cells. So we started doing these stretches, rolling it out. I went further than I've ever went, and there, I swear to God, there was this release. I started bawling like a baby. And since then, I'll tell you what, it's been 2 weeks. I've had the biggest range of mobility of my life. I'm throwing kicks like I've never thrown. I'm riding the bike longer. I'm squatting further. I just think it's just so amazing. Because that's the thing, guys. And we can talk about this stuff all day. But what do we really believe, right? Do we really believe it? Do we trust? I can't impress it enough, beloved. You have to trust the process and trust yourself and trust the stuff you say. Trust the stuff you read. It's not enough just to come here and say it. You've got to integrate it. When I was getting ready for this talk, I saw this book on my desk. A book I haven't looked at in a long time. Practical Metaphysics by Eric Butterworth. I saw it sitting there. I'm like, man. I was like, man, I should read more of this. I haven't done it in a long time. This is from my Wednesday night class with Reverend Jill about over a year ago. So I pulled it out, and I'm like, I'm going to have to struggle to find the passage that works with my talk. Lo and behold, there is a little bookmark right there, open to it. This is what I found. This is why the Bible says the eyes of God are too pure to behold iniquity. The pureness is allness, totality, completion, the infinite mind. We're dealing with principle. If God were a healer, you'd have to call ahead for office hours. You get a notice to come back in 2 weeks when they could fit you in, or when it's his whim or his desire, or maybe he wills it. Or maybe if he loves you a little more than that time than he does at this time, forgive my whimsy. God is not a healer. God is life. And the whole life is present in the entirety, at every point in space, at the same time. Now, doesn't that make a difference? Get that into your consciousness. There is nowhere to go for healing. Wherever you are, the allness of healing life is present. It's not to get God to do something for you, but to be still and know that I am God. To get back to the beginning, to the roots, foundation. In the beginning, allness, totality. If we could just realize this and work with this understanding, it would make such a difference in our lives. You are a whole eachness of that principle. The mystical truth, again, is that I'm an eachness. Maybe that point is oversimplified. I'm an eachness within the allness of God and the full power of the whole. Or the allness, and it's present within every cell of the eachness. The totality of infinite healing process is present in the tiniest cell of my body. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know? In biologist Edmund Sinnott's book, The Biology of the Spirit, he senses this process in nature and describes it as a total, all-inclusive process. He says, somehow there must be present in the plant's living stuff, eminent in all its parts, something that represents the natural configuration of the whole as a norm to which growth conforms, a goal toward which development is invariably directed. This insistent fact confronts us everywhere in biology. I might add that this insistent fact confronts everywhere in human life too. Because God's a thing that helps us to understand what is God. Because that's the thing that helps us to understand what God is, right? Not G-O-D, not the floating literary symbol, not something or someone that sits off there somewhere in the universe, but God presence. God is totality. God is that which expresses in me in what Sinnott calls the natural configuration of the whole of the parts, the whole of the pattern. To put it another way, one of the medieval mystics, St. Augustine, is attributed to saying, God is a circle whose center is everywhere and whose circumference is nowhere. You know, you might hear that and be like, oh, that's nice. That's new thought, right? No. I went to the big book, got to the Bible, took the big guns out. It's everywhere. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and perfect and acceptable. Colossians 2:9. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. Doesn't that sound familiar? God is us. We are God. Proverbs 17:22. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Proverbs 16:24. Gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. And finally, Luke 6:19. And the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. Don't you want to be that, beloved? Don't you want to be that? You know what you can. You. We know this. Christ was the example, not the exception. We can tap into this if we just believe and trust. Trust in ourselves. Let go of all the BS we store up here and here and let it flow out, right? Let it just go. So what you did that thing? So what that happened to you? It's okay. You're not broken. You're not wounded. That great Indian poet and mystic Rumi said, "The wound is where the light enters." So heal that wound and let the sun shine in, guys. Let it in. While on the cross, Jesus said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Don't continually crucify yourself for things that happened in the past, things you did or didn't do. The time of change is upon us, and the grand awakening is there if you want it. These old limiting programs that are running are just that. They're programs. You know, when I got 15, 16 applications on my computer running, it runs a lot slower. Same goes for us. But you know what? We're not just the application. We're the programmer. Remember that. And wholeness, you know, it most likely means you're not going to have it all figured out and be some pristine being that levitates around with a musk and essence of sage and Palo Santo trailing you wherever you float. No. Wholeness most likely means that you'll be able to handle and deal with whatever comes your way with grace, strength, and love. To really bring that sentiment home, I'd like to read a passage to end from this wonderful little book I got when I became a prayer chaplain. Prayers for 1,000 Years. Spiritual awakening is frequently described as a journey to the top of a mountain. We leave our attachments and our worldliness behind and slowly make our way to the top. At the peak, we have transcended all pain. The only problem with this metaphor is that we leave all the others behind. Our drunken brother, our schizophrenic sister, our tormented animals and friends. Their suffering continues, unrelieved by our personal escape. In the process of discovering our true nature, the journey goes down, not up. It's as if the mountain pointed toward the center of the earth instead of reaching into the sky. Instead of transcending the suffering of all creatures, we must move toward turbulence and doubt. We jump into it. We slide into it. We tiptoe into it. We move forward however we can. We explore the reality and the unpredictability of insecurity and pain, and we try not to push it away. If it takes years, if it takes lifetimes, we will let it be as it is. At our own pace, without speed or aggression, we move down and down and down. With us move millions of others, our companions in awakening from fear. At the bottom, we discover water, the healing water of compassion. Right down there in the thick of things, we discover the love that will never die. Bhikshuni Pema Chodron. Beloved, let's take those words and those thoughts and those beliefs. Let's close our eyes. And let's really hold that love that will never die in our minds, in our bodies, and in our spirit. take a nice, slow, deep breath from the bottom of your solar plexus and move that loving energy, that loving light, all the way up to the top of your head, through your pineal gland, and let it flow back down. Take a few more of those. Clean out your system. Let that healing love, that healing light move through you and hit every little cell, the tiniest one on your toenail to the last strand of hair on the top of your head. Let it radiate out of you. Let your fullness shine as if you are illuminating the walls in this church, the valleys and canyons outside of it, and the world that surrounds you. We are beings of light. We are beings of strength. We are beings of love. And we are here to experience, beloved. There is no good. There is no bad. There is just experience. And there is God. And there is you. I invite you to lovingly scan your body. Scan yourself, your being. If there's any resistance, if there's any pain that comes up, sit there for a minute. Do not judge. Do not run away from. Just sit there and hold it. Hold it with loving intention. And focus that light back into that spot. Let it fill it up. Let it radiate through it. And break up and stir up anything that is congested or holding you back. Breathe it in. And breathe it out. We are so grateful for this knowledge, for this wisdom, for this experience. We are so grateful to be whoever we are, wherever we are, right now. We thank you, God, for the fortitude and for these gifts. In your name, and so it is.